Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the presentation of the F&M Group full year 2020 consolidated results. Let me remind you that all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, a Q&A session will be held. To be assisted by an operator during the conference call, press star and one on your phone keypad. Followed by zero, says the operator. Let me hand it over to Mrs. Minazzi, IR of the F&M Group. Welcome, good afternoon to all of you. Thanks for joining us. This is the first web event the F&M Group has organized. Mr. Marco Piumi, the general manager of the group, and Mrs. Valentina Montanari, the group CFO, will present the latest news from F&M and the full year 2020 consolidated results. At the end of the presentation, you will be given the opportunity to ask questions. Let me now turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Piumi. Good afternoon to all of you. On my behalf too, we are very happy to be able to disclose 2020 results that are very positive results indeed, especially if compared to what we disclosed in the first part of the year, where the onset of the pandemic and the impact it had on the mobility were felt straight away and they were very sizable. On page one, you see a group overview and to sum up our main business areas. For those of you who are not acquainted with us, we have the parent company, F&M, has two main revenue streams, Roscoe, that is to say the purchase of trains, rolling stock, and the leasing of rolling stock, Trenord, for instance. And then we have a service area to manage the railway infrastructure, both for freight mobility and passenger transportation. And then F&M Ferrovie Nord, it's a concessionaire similar to the Italian railway, but it's based in Lombardy together with the engineering company. And then, of course, we have Malpensa Intermodale and Malpensa District Bar. And then we have local transportation and in its road passenger transporter. We have mainly Milano Autoservizi, active in Lombardy, and ATV Verona, which is active in the province of Verona. And it's that as far as our consolidation scope is concerned, the group consolidation scope. And then we have a very meaningful component of something we manage, but it's not consolidated, and it's Trenord. It's consolidated, valued at equity. It's a 50-50 joint venture with the DFS Group through Trenitalia, and Trenord has a 50% stake in Tilo, a joint venture with Switzerland, and then we have joint venture DB Cargo Italia, and then we have two vehicles such as Nordenergy and Norcom that are outside the consolidation scope. And we've been taking actions. We have Bus for Fun. It's a smart mobility vehicle, a smart mobility company. And we have acquired a minority stake in that vehicle. And it's a first step in their business area. And then we have the one-off transaction that we were committed to for the entire year 2020 and that we completed at the beginning of this year. It's the acquisition of Milano Serravalle. Let me now hand it over to Valentina Montanari, the group CFO. Let me just say that the figures we are disclosing confirm that our group that has been highly resilient, a group that in 2020 could manage costs in a very conservative way, despite the complex backdrop. So we are very pleased with the results, considering the market backdrop they were achieved in. Valentina, you have the floor. Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon to all of you. In a nutshell, in 2020, we had revenues down 6.4%, mainly in the road local transportation. and because of the pandemic, and therefore public transportation was used less by passengers. So we had a drop in revenues in transport systems. And then we have an adjusted EBITDA thanks to offsetting measures and compensation measures that were started at national level. So it's in line with the expectation, in line with the previous year. It's up 0.7%. And as Mr. Puri was saying before, the resilience the group showed was of paramount importance, and the cost control was of paramount importance. EBIT is down 12.9%. We had an impairment loss in the end-of-year accounts and for La Linea, and an impairment of two train-related assets, but with a marginal importance vis-à-vis the amount of assets we have in our portfolio. And then adjusted net profit pre the consolidation of companies at equity is slightly down 0.9%, thus, however, showing the stability we proved. In 2020, we worked to be rated with the main rating agencies. We got a rating from Fitch in 2020, giving us a BBB- stable outlook, and at the beginning of, at the end of 2020, says Mrs. Montana, we had a rating from Moody's Baa3 stable, with a stable outlook. So for both rating agencies, we are considered as investment grade, and that helped in completing the deal to acquire Miser and the relevant leverage. As to the business areas we are active in, as Marco said, Roscoe and Service showed an increase in revenues, about 1.4 million, so up 1.7%. The network, the road passenger network, went up 1.8%, and we improved the funded investments throughout the year, and then of course we went on releasing the trains that are owned by Region Lombardy and for which Ferrovia Nord works as an agent, and that enabled the network infrastructure to increase its revenues. Roscoe and Service witnessed an increase in revenues thanks to the increase of the leasing of rolling stock to Trenord. And then, as I was saying, public transportation, road transportation, passenger transport, there's a sizable decrease because of the pandemic. And therefore, the effects on EBITDA, where we have a network increase in the network results, and Roscoe and Service also increase, and a drop in road passenger transport. So there was a 23 million decline in revenue and a 3.2 million decline in EBITDA, because of the cost-cutting actions we've been putting in place on all items, starting from fuel to machine maintenance, and fuel we used less, and then lower wear and use of means of transportation because they circulated a lot less, and then reduction in cost of labor. Cost of labor was down also because we had lower number of contract with a determined time frame. This is personnel we use to cover peaks, for instance, during the summer. And we also benefited from the social buffers that were offered by government. And then there were relief measures such as the Decreto Ristori Cura Italia, law decrees that enabled us to offset the what we missed in terms of production and what we missed in terms of ticketing as well. That was as far as the 2020 was concerned. Let me walk you through from EBITDA to net results. Let's have a look at the bridge. And we went through consolidated EBITDA, 68 million, D&A is 42 million, EBIT 26 million, net financial income is breaking even basically and is improving versus the previous year, mainly thanks to a gain, extraordinary gain we generated through the disposal of Loco Italia that happened throughout the year, and in a lower financial charges, financial expense. And we have lower taxes as well, also thanks to the reliefs we got from the law decree that cancelled the IRAP payments throughout the year to get to a result before the valuation at equity, adjusted net result of 22.7 million. Then we have the result of company values at equity. It's 2 million. In the previous year, it was 8 million. And the delta is mainly driven by the Trenord results. In the previous year, they always had a positive result, whilst in 2020, they booked a 7 million loss, indeed a very limited loss, if we consider how the transportation industry was affected by the pandemic. So final result, group net result is 24 million, showing the group's ability to withstand the negative impact of the pandemic, to be resilient when it came to facing the pandemic. Cash flow-wise, consolidated cash flow-wise, the 2020 full year, we moved from a net financial position in the positive at the end of 2019 to an NFP in the negative at the end of 2020, mainly due to the investment we paid for the acquisition of the 13.6% of the Milano Serravalle that took place in the summer and led to a cash out of 78 million euros. And then there was another payment of about 7 million early in January 2021. And another item to be considered is the interest payment and investment on investments. We paid about 65 million worth of interest of investment. In the previous year, it was 35 million. So we have a worsening of our NFP, mainly driven by the factors I mentioned before, the investment we made for internal growth and also for acquisitions, that is to say external growth factors. As to the SPA results, the parent company closes with results in line with the previous years, so making a profit, booking a profit, and the general, the AGM will be submitted the opportunity to authorize a dividend payout, 0.022 eurocents per share, and a payout ratio of about 40% of the SPA net result. As in the previous year, dividend yield as of today is equal to 3.6%. It's at March 18, 2021. Let me turn the conference over to Mr. Puri, who will tell you about the transformational acquisition we performed last year. Thank you, Valentina. Let's now tackle the one-off transaction, though it's transformational in nature, and we were committed to it in 2020, and it was completed in February this year. So in the first slide, you see on page 10, you see the asset, that is the company we acquired. We first acquired 13%, and then we completed the acquisition of 82.6% from Regione Lombardia, so we now have a 96% control on Mise, the Milano Serravalle. It's one of the motorways that is located in one of the most appealing and areas with the highest per capita income and it's connected to the Milan Ring Roads, and it has a connection to Genoa. And Serravalle, as you well know, has a 36%, Serravalle has a 36% stake in another motorway. It's called Autostrada Pedemontana Lombarda, which is the concessionaire of a number of toll roads. It should be around 180 kilometers, but now it's just completing the work. So the works will have to connect Bergamo to the remaining motorways. And it was started in 1951. On the slide, you see the main figures. I'll comment the figures more. We have a performer. We're performer data, and we have first, it will be eventually consolidated within the group. Serravalle was also affected by the pandemic, and Serravalle has a lot of heavy duty traffic, so that's the one that declined less, so they could be very flexible and very and promptly reactive. So 250 million is the revenues in 2020. We're talking about Italian accounting principles. So the EBITDA was halved practically versus the figures recorded in 2019. But what is interesting is the following slide, page 11. This is something I was referring to, telling you where the motorway, the Milano-Serravalle, is located. It's the yellow part, the yellow bubbles and rings and lines. It's around Milan, and then a connection to Genoa with A7 up to Serravalle. It's a really major connections also to the Genova port. In the northern area, you see the part that's already been rolled out of the Pedemontana motorway and the part that instead will have to be completed with the subsequent portions. And this map is very meaningful and interesting if you look at it, because also at a glance it tells you about the industrial meaning this acquisition had. It was really transformational in nature, and the consolidated scope of the group is doubles revenue-wise and triples EBITDA-wise. So it is a deal that has a major impact on our financials, but also from an industrial perspective. And looking at the strategy the group is pursuing, if you look at the map, if you look at the railway infrastructure, which is not in the group consolidation scope, exception made for Ferrovie Nord, western part, and then so the infrastructure connecting the entire Lombardy, territory of Lombardy, to other regions, and it's a circular radial system stemming from Milan, and it shows you that the group is well positioned to manage both infrastructure and services. It's a multimodal group, integrated multimodal group, governing the main mobility flows affecting Lombardy and also concerning the traffic moving to Milan. In this way, we can reiterate that there's an industrial rationale behind all this. So we expect a sizable growth, meaning how to govern and control the mobility. We don't think that mobility is just the modal shift, moving from train to road, to railway to road, or vice versa. We think that because of the pandemic, mobility will keep on changing, and although with different recovery times between long haul and short haul at regional level, but according to us, between 2 and 4 years going forward, mobility will start growing again in a very sizable way. That's why we are betting on it, and we are offering a different setup mobility wise. It could be random mobility or a structured mobility, and we as a group, we can govern the main flows. We can control the main flows with digital and physical integration in the flows. we can have different modes being used, and they can be used in an integrated way. That is a very important decision we've made, choice we've made. And that is also generating value when synergies will be unfolded. One last slide, and then Valentina will move on about the MISA transactions. I was mentioning before on page 12, it's combined financial between the FNM and MISA. It's page 13 now. And it's a first performer, let's say, taking stock of the situation, performer. They are unaudited, but they give you the combined effect of FNM and MISE, also from a figure viewpoint. Valentina Megli, you can walk us through it. Yes, this Valentina Montanaris, we go from, with 2020, we would be in excess of 480 million, meaning the revenues, with an adjusted EBITDA of 147 million and an EBITDA margin of 31%, also highlighting a strong diversification in the regulatory risk that comes from the change in revenue mix and the EBITDA composition, as you see in the bar charts at the bottom of the slide. And FNM standalone, 27% of revenues coming from Roscoe would lead to 70% of EBITDA, and other segments, 31% is generated by the railway infrastructure and network, and then road passenger transport with margins that were inversely proportional to the generated revenues. If we add Milano Serravalle to that, the Roscoe revenue contribution is 32, and it's 77 in EBITDA. And I mean, the combined entity, the Roscoe Series, with 19 turning into an EBITDA of 37. So as you can see, it really enhances the value of the group. It's a matter of size as well, not just of consolidating. It somehow completes our vision, liquidity-wise, cash flow-wise, and franchise-wise when it comes to our presence in the country, and the revenue profile changes, and we are further diversifying risk, regulatory risk, and we have our franchise in also non-regulated or differently regulated industries. And then outlook, quality-wise, comparison between 2020 and 2021 in the different business areas, page 15 in the presentation. And in 2020, you look at Roscoe and service, that is typical of F&M, and if we look at the railway infrastructure management, we can reconfirm for 2021 too that the COVID impact has no major effects, and the figure of 2020 confirmed that. If instead we moved to road passenger transport, is different, as also looking at the Trenord activities, this is different. So there's a major impact deriving from COVID. It was so in 20, and we think it will be also there in 2021, and that will have an impact on margins as well. Look at the red dots. The most meaningful impact coming from COVID is that was estimated, however, not including the government support measures foreseen for 2021, whilst in 2020 they were factored in. They were not full, they were partial, but at least they were meaningful. Overall, the Italian government in 2020 issued more than 1 billion euro worth of resources to as a compensation, as a support for lack of revenues or missed revenues in 2020. And we expect the government to behave similarly in 2021. They're already debating upon these measures, so they confirm our expectations. We see a 2021 practically mirroring 2020. A lot will depend on our ability, on the ability the government will have to complete the vaccination campaign and make the country safer when it comes to people moving around. And looking at summer probably as the time in which probably we'll be able to have lower restrictions and lower impact on mobility as well. Valentina, would you like to add something to give us some figures? Quantitative outlook. We expect revenues and the group standalone, F&M standalone before the combination with Mise. We expect flat revenues and an EBITDA down about 20%, because we are not factoring in government support measures that were instead factored in 2020, because for the time being we cannot define them quantity-wise. If we look at the consolidation starting from February the 26th, that is the date of acquisition, we see revenues going up 77%, EBITDA doubled, well, two times, and EBITDA margin going up about 7 basis points. If instead we look at the figures on a like-for-like basis, the combination sees revenues in line, well, flat, as Mr. Puri was saying before. It will very much depend on how we see the industry will behave or perform, despite the fact that we still are faced with uncertainties. So F&E plus Mise, like for like, adjusted EBITDA, a slight increase. We're talking about low single digit area. And you have to consider that, to consider the motorway portion included in the consolidation scope. Adjusted EBITDA margin in line with the one we had in 2020. Adjusted NFP. With the acquisition, our NFP, of course, is radically changing. And so, however, we will remain within the rating agency's requirement to retain our investment grade rating. We have completed this first part, and now we have some slides. Maybe here we can run through them more quickly. It's about sustainability that is now fully integrated in our policies. First slide, we've summed up our vision, our mission, and our values. It's page 18 of the presentation, so it's the sustainability strategy that are in line with the actions we've undertaken, especially in 2020. We see ourselves as a company, as a group, that is aimed at improving the life of people, the life of cities, and in the areas where we have a franchise, by developing connections and, of course, meeting mobility needs, physical mobility and digital needs. So our mission is to develop an integrated platform of mobility service and broaden it, both quantity and quality-wise, a platform that can meet the different mobility needs and does so in an integrated way. So this platform has a physical value because we manage physical platforms, but we also that goes hand in hand with digital factors. Whatever pertains to sustainability, also from a digital viewpoint. So responsibility, integrity, transparency, efficiency, merit, and sustainability are the values we rely on. The group, governance-wise, is set up as requested. We have a CSR committee, we have an NFT steering committee, and we have a CSR sustainability function, corporate social responsibility and sustainability function, coordinating the necessary activities. And then on page 20 of the presentation, you see a summary of the pillars and enablers of our strategic vision. You see on the one hand, we have the pillars, the group with its activities, active on on 10 SDGs, sustainable development goals. So we have a 5-year plan, 2021-2025. We will be investing 1 billion in the different business areas. We are reconfirming what I mentioned before in terms of mission and vision. So sustainability will have a more and more central role when it comes to integrated mobility, a type of mobility that can meet all the needs in different ways, in different modes, and with the necessary integration. So developing our railway infrastructure, to which the motorway infrastructure was added, and of course, we will keep on investing on our fleets as well, train fleets, and not only that, however, and of course, we want to be committed to people, to the communities, with a welfare policy that was deeply reviewed to take care of people who work for us and take care of people who use our services, to whom we issue our services. And this is summed up in a methodology that we used and that, according to us, fully represents what we have summed up in the following slides. So actual data, end of 2020. In our non-financial statement, we have an integrated business model, integrated with sustainability, and we complied with the GRI sustainability, and because we have sustainability reports according to GRI parameters, and we picked the capital-based reporting methodology. We have an integrated business model, and each capital contributes to the achievement of the 10 SDGs we are already covering. One of the main components is the economic value generated by the group, which is in excess of 320 million, of which 254 distributed to stakeholders. 52% of the economic value distributed is to suppliers, 44.5% is to staff, and 2.1% is to public administration. 70% of the tender procedures that were started in 2020 is compliant with ESG and SDGs. Next slide, we've introduced, starting from this year, to stress how much the group is really focusing on sustainability and on applying sustainability to our day-to-day actions. We've decided to report the true value generated by the group through the true value methodology, which is a methodology that summarizes the impact the group has to the community, be it direct or indirect impact F&M has on the community. And it's the true value generated by the group for the community and its economic impact, environmental impact, social impact. It's about 2 billion worth of impact. As you see on the slide, you see the contribution of the different sectors, segments, so to say. The value is generated and transferred, channeled into the system by the group. There's no other addition. Let me turn the conference over to Mrs. Pinazzi, who will introduce the Q&A.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Montanari and Mr. Puri. We're now ready to take your questions. Please feel free to ask your question.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call operator. We are now starting the Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone keypad. To be removed from the Q&A queue, press star followed by two on your phone keypad. Please ask your questions using your handsets. If you want to ask a question, press star and one on your phone now. First question comes from the line of Stefano Gamberini with Equita SIM. Go ahead, sir. Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you so much for your presentation. I have a few questions for you, three questions, if I may. First one for Mr. Puri is on investment. So we have 1 billion, if I remember correctly, of CapEx between 2021 and 2025, approved in November last year. So could you walk us through how you are going to spend that money? And considering the presentation you've just made and all the matter of integration between motorways and local public transportation service. So how much on road, how much on MISA, how much are you going to invest on logistics? And considering the CapEx, considering the investments you're going to make, second question is the following. Considering the acquisition you complete, where is the leverage getting to? And is it a leverage that is sustainable and that will enable you to retain your investment grade rating? And the following question is how do you see your dividend policy? Where do you see your dividend policy going? If we look at 2019 figures, EBITDA combined with MISA, €220 million. So the profit could be 50, €60 million. So today your dividend policy is 40% payout. Could you retain that kind of payout? Probably you're still thinking about your dividend policy, but a 9 million worth of dividend, where could it go going forward? And then in 2028, APL, you have acquired MISA, and then APL, Autostrada Pedemontana Lombarda. Could you elaborate on how you see this stake within your group in the long term? Thank you very much. Very briefly, as to CapEx investments, we confirmed it's 1 billion between 2021 and 2025. So roughly, the CapEx will be one-third, between road mobility. And there's going to be tenders, how much we will need to invest in order to bid for those tenders and be able to be awarded them, and then on railway infrastructure, and then one-third on MISA, the logistics part, which is very important so far when it comes to the business plan, accounts for less than 5%. And as to the dividend policy, I think you've already answered the question, because as soon as we finalize our plan, so there are still a number of bits and pieces that have to be put together in the jigsaw, we'll see how we can take steps or whether we're going to go a different way and in case where we're going to go. As to the Autostrada Pedemontana Lombarda, APL, I'll hand it over to Valentina, but it's clear that so far the main component for, the main thing for APL is the building of the new road portions, road parts, and we have a minority stake. It's on the one hand, for the time being, it's a financial investment, but we'll see, depending on the type of services that we'll be able to provide. So possible evolutions will depend upon the completion of APL and how Region Lombardy will what kind of decisions they will make in their stake. And the leverage you mentioned, we have completed the one-off deal. We planned the CapEx, and the leverage is going to be compatible with us retaining our investment grade rating going forward. Having said that, the different NFPs and how they will be set, they will be disclosed in the plan that we'll be presenting in the following month. Pedemontana is indeed an interesting asset. We'll see how things go. Of course, they will still have to complete the B2 and C portions. After there'll be a tendering of the work for the completion of said portions of road. Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Andrea Bonfadi in Banca Akros. Good morning to all of you. My question is the following. When it comes to your investment plan and the debt, well, the leverage you foresaw for the acquisition of Serravalle, is the revenue flow generated by Serravalle will improve or help your dividend payout? Serravalle will pay out dividend because once up and running, we think they'll be able to pay a dividend, and that will be booked on the parent company P&L. Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dario Fasani with UBI Banca. Please, sir, go ahead. Good afternoon. Congratulations for the results you achieved. Very good results indeed. Investments, CapEx. Can you give as an order of magnitude for 2021 CapEx? And can you give us a view on the trend going from on the shift between public to private mobility? And then Milano-Serravalle, will that have an impact on your road passenger figures as F&M? I must confess that I had a hard time hearing the second part of your question. The first one I understood, but could you repeat the second part? Given the trends we are seeing, the shift between public to private mobility, is it temporary or is it going to stay? Please go ahead. Valentina Montanari on CapEx. CapEx in 2021, it's going to be a sizable CapEx portion, in excess of 300 million, and a big chunk of that will be investments in trains, so order of magnitude two-thirds. As to Serravalle, it will also be a major portion, a major chunk, about 100 million. We're talking about CapEx 2021. Second question. An answer would require a lot more time than 30 seconds or a minute. But in a nutshell, what happened in 2020, if you look at Trenord, we had 90,000 passengers in April, March 2020 because of the lockdown, whilst in 2019 they were transporting 800,000 passengers. So May, June, they were transporting again 500,000 to 600,000 passengers. So we think that local mobility, as soon as restrictions will be removed, and there'll be more certainty as to the fact that the pandemic is under control, we think the traffic will pick up quite quickly. And then it's a matter of trusting public transportation, and this is a commitment we have to take up as we have to reconquer the trust of our passengers. And going forward, we think there'll be a redistribution between public and private mobility, but the border between the two will be more and more blurred. So when we are going to, if we're going to provide services on demand based on platforms that can blend single and common transportation, so it's going to be collective mobility, first and last mile, flows. These will be the key words. Investments for Milano Serravalle, sorry, I have to correct them, says Valentina Montanari. They won't be 100 million, but half of that, so 50. Let me remind you that if you want to ask a question, you can press star and one on your phone keypad. Next question comes from, it's a follow-up of Stefano Gamberini with Equita. I have a couple of more things I'd like to clarify. How is the negotiation with the Lombardy region as to the service contract with Trenord? And then, always talking about Trenord, that was the first question. So in 2021, production will be in line with 2019, but there's a risk of having a lower traffic, similar to the levels we had in 2020. 80, 90 million euro of Trenord, and then 10 million on road traffic. Will they be enough in 2021 to generate the same type of good results you achieved in 2020? And then one last thing. Could you elaborate on your real estate portfolio? Could you help us understand how much it's worth? On logistics, you will be investing about 50 million, and you will see the vectors along which you will be doing that. Are there any shadow assets in your group that we should know of? Anyway, congratulations. You sound like an expert in public transportation, so congrats for that. Yes, I studied. I made my homework. I don't know whether that can be taken as a compliment. Anyway, Lombardy region, we are negotiating with the region, and they sent a pre-disclosure of the European regulations, and they said that they want to award the 10-year contract, service contract to Trenord, and in 3 years, it's 3 years, and it's going to be 2021, 2031. We are negotiating, and it's a complex negotiation, but the objective, and it's a must for both parties, as the extension expires at the end of this year. So by the end of 2021, we have to finalize the service contract that will cover the following 10 years. So it's not just a matter of volumes, it's a matter of also the type of production. And on the one hand, the system can be more transparent. Let me give you an example. On the one hand, tariffs have to be clearly defined and not left up to the decision of institutions to set them on a year-by-year basis. And KPIs are very precise when it comes to the type of service that has to be rendered. So KPIs to have rewarding or penalizing systems based on the KPI attained. So we think that the awarding of the contract will help Trenord to perform even better. The reliefs, the Decreto Ristori, the reliefs and support coming from the government, some of the support issued for 2020, the government also issued for January 2021. So, Ristori, Relief 5, the new law decree that will be issued by the government, we are now in March. So, the situation seems to be clearer now than what we knew in 2020. And you are right, because The very positive result achieved by Trenord is the result of a number of factors. So first of all, the compensation, the supports, the government supports, and also Trenord had a strong action on the budget by cutting costs, and so, and also they had lower operating costs. So it's very hard to predict. We think we'll be moving along the same lines. So we expect a 2021 similar to 2020 with some more hopes that maybe if after the summer or we'll be safer in the second half of the year, figures could pick up again. Real estate, book value is about 34 million and something, including the different assets we own. We can be more precise on that during the business plan disclosure. And as we've said many times, talking about the group strategy, we have growth forecasts and valuation forecasts for those assets, especially in the northwestern area of Lombardy. That is to say, especially along the railway access of Ferrovie Nord from Milano Cadorna to Malpensa. Chairman Gibelli has already mentioned that. We are still, it's still too early to give you more reliable figures, but we are talking about major actions on Cadorna, Bovisa, Saronno, and Busto. Those are the areas. And so we think we can have major values that will be different from the current book values. Shadow assets. Given the book value, you can give your own thoughts on the matter. For further questions, you may press star and one on your phone keypad. For questions, please press star and one on your phone keypad. Mrs. Minazzi, there are no questions in the queue for the time being. No more questions. Thank you very much. I say that our webcasting has come to an end. Of course, we are here ready to take further questions after the webcasting as well. And we hope to talk to you again at the next webcasting for the Q1 results presentation. Thank you very much for joining us and have a nice afternoon. Thank you.